In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're going to have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
All right, well, we have no announcements, nothing to tell you other than talking about work-life balance, because Nicole, I know you are fired up about this topic. It's one that we've been kind of sitting on for a while, ruminating on a little bit, and kind of using the month of May as this Happier in Business series. We now finally get to talk about it.
Yeah, happier at work, happier in business. I feel like in the last podcast we had about it, where we talked about mental habits that you can improve your work time, I told you all that I hate, despise with a passion, nails on a chalkboard, phrase work-life balance. And we're going to go into why I do not like that term and what to do about it. But the call to action at the end of this is going to be just don't say that anymore. Just stop with that mentality. But we're going to talk a little bit about what this mentality actually does and why I actually think it truly is pretty detrimental for us to continue to talk about it like this. So here we go.
Yeah. So I think one of the things we always have a problem with, Nicole, is when a term is just so overly simplistic, it's almost lazy. Like, it's mentally lazy to just say, I need more work-life balance. So if we really unpack what that is, usually everybody always uses that phrase to say, I need to be working less, right? No one's ever like, oh, I need more work-life balance. Can I pick up some more shifts?
Yeah, that just like doesn't happen.
Right? So it's basically saying I need to work less in order to have a more balanced life. Well, what does that mean? It really means to be happier, right? I'm feeling stressed, anxious, burned out, unhappy. So I need work-life balance, i.e. I'm unhappy, so I need to work less. And if you really start to unpack this, we've been thinking about this episode, Nicole, for years we've been talking about this and different ways to be thinking about it. But when you really unpack it, the term work-life balance, what does that imply? First is that work is directly subtracting from your life. Those are in opposition, right? You've got time at work and then you've got your real life. So every minute you're working is pulling you away from real life. And then work causes unhappiness, while life or all non-paid activities causes happiness. We'll unpack a little bit later whether or not that's true, but I just changed a dirty diaper of Clay's this morning that would beg to differ, right? So work causes unhappiness. All life activities are happy and life-giving. So we need to work less if we want to be happier. And this really leads us to the conclusion, like, work is a necessary evil to be endured so we can live outside our work hours. And I don't know about you, Nicole, but that's like a pretty dark mental philosophy that we're buying into with this term. And I don't think we're even realizing it, but that's what we're saying.
Yeah. Whenever we do these kinds of episodes where we're like, what does he really mean when they're saying that? Like, you know, we can have the clinical analogy of like, what does he mean when they talk about downtraining? Then you actually ask people and it's like, no one really knows what the fuck they're talking about. And so, but here, if you actually break down that term, I think Jesse, you did a great job of like really distilling down what you're actually saying when you're saying it, which is why I don't like it when we use it. So what is the word?
Ubiquitously, flippantly.
Flippantly. I like that word, flippantly, which you use it so flippantly so that it doesn't have any meaning on the surface, but in reality, it has that much deeper meaning that is dictating what you do about it. And sometimes the solutions that we have from those conclusions aren't going to be helpful for you.
One of the things that I love, John Acuff has a framework that talks about this, but when you have those kind of mental soundtracks like work is bad, life is good, work is detracting from life, asking if it's true, helpful, or kind And to me, I would actually question it on all three of those counts. Is it really true that you can't derive happiness and joy and satisfaction from work? I don't think so. Research doesn't think so. You guys know we're not always into the research police here, but there's a ton of research that finding purpose and meaning is one of the biggest components of happiness. And a lot of us do that through work. And it's certainly not helpful because unless you're a trust fund baby or you married into money or you won the lotto, Nicole, you got a lotto ticket the other day.
Did get a lotto ticket. Buy lotto tickets.
Okay.
This is a sidebar. I buy lotto tickets. I don't give a fuck.
It's a tax on dummies.
Yeah, that's what Jesse says. That's what my dad says. Like, I don't care. I'm buying one. And you guys are all going to be laughing at the free down to, I don't know.
You're going to be laughing to the
bank. I'm going to be, that's it. I'm so bad at these analogies, but I'm going to be laughing all the way to the freaking bank. I'm not sharing if I win the lotto.
I'm not sharing all the money we invest.
Okay.
But we'll see whose retirement plan ends up better. But if you have to work, it's pretty unhelpful then to think of work as this soul-crushing activity that we're putting into. And I know when you guys say that, that's not really what you're thinking at the top of your mind. But like Nicole said, these are the deeper things that we're talking about when we're using that framework, when we're talking about work-life balance as if those two things are in opposition. Like, what are the real implications? I mean, really, it means that you're supposed to be miserable at work, that you shouldn't even bother trying to improve your work situation because work is miserable in and of itself. So why bother trying to do those mental habits that Nicole talked about in last week's podcast? Or why bother taking a walk at lunch? Or why bother doing any of the things that we can do to make work better? And then the only way to be happier, less stressed, less burned out, is to do less work. But for many of us, we're in a financial position where we can't really afford to do less work, or we have to work, or the positions that are available require a certain number of hours. And now we just have to be miserable.
Yeah. And then, you know, you start to feel trapped and all that. But when Jesse was talking about the life part of it too, that somehow work is bad and life is good, this is where I really start to get irritated. All right. Because I freaking know all you. I've been an employer now, and I've heard multiple people say this when it is glaringly obvious that work is the fucking best thing that is going on in your life at this time. And it's actually the life part that is hugely a problem. It's like, I can't, it's so frustrating to see the lack of self-awareness at some level of this. And it's like, and I feel like the phrase is just an easy scapegoat to immediately turn to so that you don't have to look at the life part. And if you really break down all of the components of what you have control over, it's actually that work is probably the least amount of control you have. If you're an employee, for sure. But even as a business owner, like you, there are certain things that have to go on and you have to do. And if you really think about all of the amazing things that you can change, it's all in the life part. And yet, time again and time after time, y'all want to complain and change about things about work. And it's like, all of the other areas of your fucking life can be changed too. Why aren't you putting as much effort as you are complaining right now about work into those things that you actually have control over? Like, that's just appalling to me. I can't even handle it. And I don't even know. I don't even know where to go. I've literally, you guys, had to go to my own mental health therapy. I'm not joking about this. I've had to go to my own mental health therapist to try to wrap my brain around this sort of mentality.
Well, and you guys who are listening to this, thinking about self-awareness with us, this is one thing that has actually been really fascinating to Nicole and I, because we think that this is incredibly important. This idea of happiness at work, of enjoying what you do, of having a long and productive career, you're going to be better for yourself. You're going to be better for your patients. You're going to be in the field for longer. You're going to be less burned out. You're going to not be tempted to leave the physical therapy or occupational therapy field altogether. We think that's hugely important. And yet every time we ask you guys, do you want to hear more about that?
Yeah, y'all say no. So check this out. We actually have real world data. So not only we have it in our surveys, but the most recent sort of appalling thing that happened was at Pelvicon. Okay. So Pelvicon 2022. happened. And in one of the Q&As that happened at Pelvicon, I believe it was Michelle Lyons and Christina Holland were up there, and they had both were talking about like trauma-informed care. And Michelle had just talked about polyvagal theory approach to pelvic pain. And we were talking about co-regulation and how important it is for everyone's nervous system to sort of help our patients. And it was a really brilliant pairing. Let me pat myself on the back with Jessica to put those two people together. And we, at that time, we were asking questions from the audience. And literally, I feel like every single question that came was some form of, well, how do I do this? I feel like I'm so burned out, right? And so we asked you guys, are you burned out? And a lot of you said yes, right? A lot of you said, I'm on the verge. There's parts of my life that I'm burned out on. There's parts of my job. So we did pull. And then Jessica and I created an unlimited seating thing for it. We called it the clinician's lunch. And it was all about this, basically. And guess how many people showed up out of the 600?
Well, I know the answer. Well, I guess for me.
I'm looking at for you. So like less than 100.
Right.
And Jessica and I were like, I was mad. Jessica was like, oh, that's so sad because she's so nice. And I was like, it's fucking ridiculous. I'm like, we need to freaking pull like the whole thing. We should just change out one of the sessions and be like, oh, make people fucking listen to this because you say you want it. And then yet when we offer things that you can actively do to make yourself better, you do not do them. So we're doing it on the free podcast instead.
Yes. Self-awareness. So you guys are listening. So you are not the ones that we're talking about here because you guys tuned into this podcast. If you skipped this podcast because it didn't have any clinical pearls in it, well, you'll never know what we think about you. So it's fine. But I'm glad you guys are here and listening. But honestly, it is. It's that self-awareness. And we're talking about this because we genuinely do want every single one of you. We want everybody at Pelvic Sanity who works there to be happy, to enjoy what they do. Nicole says it again and again. You guys have the best profession. You guys are making a massive difference in people's lives. You have this really cool ability to look at the whole body and figure all this stuff out. And it's a mental puzzle and you get to work with people and all of the things.
And we get to do things that are like life-changing and life-giving for people. Like you can't ask for a more impactful, purposeful job. You can't do it. And as much as I love physical therapy as a profession, I chose physical therapy. I think that in every specialty, there's amazingness in it. And I do even think this for even acute care, folks. Even though I can rail on that for days and how freaking easy that is, I do feel like we can still make really impactful change as physical therapists in whatever setting. But I also believe that doing pelvic therapy is pretty much the most impactful specialty that we could have. You could be in. And still, then we have this issue.
So we want you to enjoy it. That's the whole reason behind this podcast. And if we just stop at surface level and we don't take that introspective look that Nicole always talks about, and we just take the easy out and scapegoat work, and not even work in general, but like the number of hours that we work, then it leaves all of this, the rest of this is on the table. It's not getting to the root cause. I mean, you talk about that clinically, Nicole. That's what we're talking about here, getting to the root cause of what's going on. And it's not, and I loved, if you guys missed the episode with Kat Tyrion last week, she talks about this so eloquently that she experienced this in her own life. And she went, her first supposition was to go exactly where everybody else does. Oh, I'm working too many hours. She cut her hours from 40 to 30. That didn't really make that much of a difference. Well, maybe I'm not cutting them enough. She cut them from 30 down to 20. That didn't make that much of a difference. And then she started getting actual professional help with that and realizing, hey, it was everything else. Yes, the number of hours you work can be a factor. But I mean, research shows that once you get to 40 hours a week or below, it's really a pretty negligible change in burnout symptoms by decreasing number of hours. Now, once you get like 60 and above, if you're doing crazy lawyer, hospital residency hours, all that, it grows exponentially. The growth curve is actually really interesting. But I mean, going from 40 hours a week to 36 hours a week to 32 hours a week doesn't really have a massive effect on that. And I think one of the big things, Nicole, is stop scapegoating the number of hours at the office and start actually looking for the reason that you're feeling unfulfilled, burned out, stressed, or anxious.
Yeah. And I will even go one step further. And it's not just the number of hours, but I feel like the other thing that we do to sort of continue this down this journey of scapegoating this is thinking about the number of patients. Well, if I only had less pelvic pain patients, or I'm seeing just too many patients. It's like, our people at Pelvic Sanity or a cash-based therapist clinic has 40 maximum that you see. Most of the time you're seeing less, especially with cancellations, and especially if you can choose to see less patients. And guess what? You came from some place that you saw more patients, right, in a 40-hour span. So it's not the patient load either. You still feel like you need to, quote, see less patients when you are actually seeing less patients. And guess what? Instead of saying, I need to continue to see less patients, why don't you say like, oh, wait, maybe it wasn't the patients at all. And if it's not the patients and it's not the hours, then what else is it? I mean, it could be your work environment if your boss is a complete dick. But no job is ever going to be perfect either. So this is where we always feel like you try to change your job and then your freaking problems just chase you. Guess what? Where's the common denominator, y'all? You know, it's following you around because it's fucking you. It's you.
And what's the phrase? Wherever I go, there I am.
Yes. Right? And it's like, but, and I feel like I want this podcast to be sort of like a freaking wake up call that that's okay. It's totally okay, but you got to realize it first before you can start to change anything about it. And I feel like that's where we're just stopping. We're just putting our head in the sand and we're just continuing to talk about work-life balance as if work's bad. If I just have more life hours, it's going to be better. And that's just not what's happening. It's not what I've seen being an employer. It's not what I've seen with my colleagues being an employee for a long time. Because remember, I was an employee too. I still am friends with some people that work at the place where I left. And they're still talking about the same shit, you guys. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I don't know. At some point, you have to take responsibility for what you're saying. And really look at, is what I'm saying true? That's the first thing. You can stop right there. We're busting this right now. And then is it helpful to think like that? So even if you say like, yes, it's like, well, is it helpful to think this way? Absolutely not. It's part of a not growth mindset. It's part of like the opposite of a growth mindset, a fixed mindset that I can't do anything to change my work. Therefore, I can't do anything to change my life circumstances. Therefore, I just need to change the hours and or the number of patients that I see. And that just doesn't happen. And then it's not kind to yourself either to think like this. It's not good.
Right. Imagine saying that to somebody else. Oh, shoot. You weren't born with a trust fund and you're going to have to work. Well, you're going to be miserable for at least one third of your waking hours.
It's a terrible thing to say.
But we say that to ourselves. So what is true as we kind of step back from that? I mean, I would postulate, and I think if you guys are listening to this, you guys are clearly passionate about what you do. That we could all remember a time when work was a source of purpose or satisfaction or growth in our lives. So to me, I think it's a complete opposite of work automatically causes unhappiness. I think it can actually be a source of happiness, purpose, and growth. I think that the another thing is to what Nicole was saying there is think about the things that you can change. If you're in a bad work situation, then do your best to change it. And if you can't change it, then you can take a look at another place or finding a better fit. But also remember that, again, no job is perfect. So it's really taking that, and we've had other podcast episodes all about, are you in the right job for you? But actually sit and think about that, and then take the effort to make changes in the way that you can within your workplace and whatever that is for you. But it's not a passive thing. You can help craft a job that you want. You can have those conversations with a higher up or a boss, or just do the things that are within your control. Sometimes it's as simple as like just getting outside and taking a walk.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like too, sometimes I really feel like we're avoiding just talking to your bosses about it. You know, I feel that sometimes y'all wait until it's so bad and you villainized your position so much that the only option is to quit. And if you would just give your bosses the opportunity to help you to see if there's any change that can be done within the job itself, I would highly encourage you to do that. If nothing else, just to practice having difficult conversations and see what happens. And then give your boss the opportunity to either step up or have a great conversation about why that can't happen, or show that they're a dick. You know, I mean, I feel like you have to give those people the opportunity to show their true colors, but villainizing it more and more in your head and catastrophizing it more and more in your head before you're actually doing something about it, that's what's not fair. And that's what's really annoying to me.
And it's not helpful for you guys, right? I mean, that's the thing that's making a self-perpetuating unhappiness circle with that. So have those difficult conversations if it's something that you need to do. And also, you can recognize that there are different seasons of life. So make a deliberate decision about your work hours. And that's great. I think that's one of the things with this podcast, Nicole. We're not advocating for 50-hour weeks, 40-hour weeks, 32-hour weeks, whatever it is. At Pelvic Sanity, we give our people the option of anywhere between 32 and 40 hours a week for full-time work. So we're all about making a deliberate decision. What we're not about is villainizing work as a thing. Right. So make a deliberate decision about work hours and then you accept the natural consequences of that. Right. So if you work fewer hours, you're going to make less. That's fine. Right. But now how does that contribute to that life outside of work? You can't afford a nicer place that you want or to go on the vacation. Well, that's the trade-off. There are natural consequences to those decisions. That doesn't mean they're good or bad, but make the decision that's right for you and do it deliberately in this whole balance.
Right. So I want to just pause for that for a second, because I know many of you were like, well, I want to see less patients or work less hours. And then when Jesse said, I need to work less or I'm going to get paid less, you're like, well, I guarantee some people that are listening to this went immediately to, well, we should get paid more for what we do then. And it's like, no, not necessarily. No, like that's not the summary. Oh, if you work less at the rate that you've been given, you should get paid less. And here's the thing. It's an insight to what the life part is. Maybe if you're thinking that I just need to make more money, guess what? That is a life problem where your finances are not where they need to be. And you can take a look at that and see if that's causing you stress outside of your work. But That is not necessarily, I just know that people that listen to you say that right then are just like, well, accept the natural consequences. Easy for you to say, da 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 da. And it's like, well, but yeah, but then that gives you insight to what you might be actually stressing you out. It might be your financial situation or, and the, all of the components of that, your spouse, if you don't have one, fine, like all of the things that contribute to your finances or your spending or your mindset around finances from your, how you grew up and all of that could be adding to stress about you thinking that you're not getting paid enough when you actually are getting paid just fine and fair for what you are as a PT or OT.
That's actually funny because that didn't even cross my mind. It was be like, yes, you work less, you make less. Like that's.
But I guarantee you, write me in. If you thought that too, and you wanted to shoot Jesse in the face when he said that, then you, yeah, just, I guarantee that was like at least half of the people.
Well, I'm glad that we addressed that then.
Yes.
So, yes, I really don't know what to say about that. But I loved one of the things that Kat said in our interview with her. And again, if this is an area where you're feeling a little bit struggly right now, that would be a great episode to go back and talk about. She's so open with it and so introspective. And I think had such a great perspective with it. Man, that pie chart idea, right? What is actually contributing to your feelings of stress or burnout? And yes, work can be a slice of that. I would even suggest dividing that work slice into two different things. One is what can you change? And one is things that you can't, right? It's like, oh, well, if I own a home and I have a commute, well, that's not going to change. But what could? How well do I use that commute? Do I listen to a podcast on the way in? Maybe you're listening to this one on the way in and you're regretting that decision by now, right? But make that pie chart. And then the other things that are contributing to that. And like Nicole said earlier, a lot of times those are the things that you can actually affect more of. How are your relationships? How's your physical health? How's your mental health? How are you sleeping? Are you doing literally any of the things you're recommending to your patients?
Right? Even one of them.
Right. And, you know, and I get it. It's difficult to do, but, you know, you guys do this for other people. You help other people see it. And then we can be so blind ourselves And maybe that is asking somebody else outside the situation to kind of look at it the way that you guys are able to look at patients. But you guys can see this a mile off with patients, right? The person who comes in and is going through a divorce and everything just started right when she found out that her person was unfaithful. And she thinks that it's because of a UTI. Everything has been going on now for 2.5 years, right? You can see that. Like, that's what we want for you guys to be able to see in yourselves and then be able to address that, because you can do a lot more about your own sleep or your exercise or mental health therapy or spending time outside or relationships or investing more in activities that bring joy or improving your relationship, whatever that is. You can affect that a heck of a lot more than you can affect where your job is located or what color the fluorescent lights are or who your boss is. And so that might be an area where we can spend a little bit more of our time and effort instead of just the easy thing of villainizing work or the hours or the patients, never getting a step deeper. And like you said, Nicole, what that leads to is this chronic sense of burnout or stress or unhappiness that just follows you from position to position, and it's never actually addressed. And sometimes that leads to people leaving the field because this is still going on, and it's reaming work when you really have to look in and say, hey, is work really the root cause of what's going on? And I would suggest the vast majority of the time, that's not really the driving factor of what's happening.
Totally. And then this is just another plug for mental health therapy for all of us. But, you know, I think that the other pitfall that I feel like we fall into when we're talking, you know, with our friends or our colleagues or our peers about work-life balance is that we can become kind of like an echo chamber. It's like a real life Instagram reel where you're just liking it. It keeps showing you what you want to hear, right? It just, you're never getting an outside perspective. And I think that's one of the most valuable things to see a mental health provider is that it's a third party that can get to know you, but doesn't really know you, that makes you articulate things that you would never say out loud to even somebody like your closest friend or your partner. Like, they help you to articulate and say out loud things that just ruminate in your head without ever being able to be verbalized. And that there's power in being able to think about, you know, when you say you're unhappy at work, what do you mean? And you have to actually like say the words. And if you feel like you can't say the words or you're stumbling over them or you don't understand, like if you're feeling like that's hard for you to do, then we know that there's something else underneath that. And that's what I feel like is really helpful about going to mental health therapy is that third party perspective that you can just be truly authentic and share something or they can help you to pull out of you what you're really feeling instead of just going and talking about it to a friend who's going to basically just give you the social media echo chamber that we all know that we can create for ourselves.
Right. That's supportive. Yeah, that totally sucks. I get it, right? Work sucks.
Yeah. And then they start to say their problem. And then all of a sudden you're mad at their problem also, right? And then it's just like you're collectively being like, yeah, work blows. And your boss is a dick. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, is my boss really as big of a dick as that other person? It's like, I don't really know. Like, you know, you're just like collectively getting all riled up about something and catastrophizing a situation that really doesn't necessarily deserve it. And if it does deserve it, then we have a whole nother talk about making a change and actually having the courage to do that and all that stuff. But this is all about the internal sort of struggle of wanting that work-life balance and just like blurting out that phrase without really truly examining what that means for you.
Yeah. And I know this, Nicole, has been a little bit of a tough love episode for all of you guys. We appreciate you guys listening, but we really do want you to be happy and fulfilled in what you're doing. And I really believe, and I know, Nicole, you believe even more, that this term work-life balance is actively getting in the way of that. Like, it's actively causing you distress, unhappiness, and we really want to get deeper than just that surface level throwaway line of, I need more work-life balance.
Yes. And so now this is like the second or third time Jesse's had to reel it back and remind me. I have a ton of empathy for this situation. I've been there. I understand what it's like to feel like this. And also, I want for each and every one of you to powerfully go in and look at what you're really feeling and do something about that feeling. So not just the surface feeling, but that deeper level of that. And I think that when you do that, I want to unlock for you a world where you have so much more control over your quote unquote work-life balance than you ever thought possible.
Absolutely. So thank you, everybody who has been listening. I hope this has been helpful as you think about and try to get that sense of happiness and purpose at work. And I hope this can be a little bit of a guide for you on that. So as always, we'd love to hear from you and keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.